But Gerrard! Here's Rooney! Oh my goodness me! That is one of the strikes of the season! Absolutely brilliant! Fantastic!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of FPL 360. Chuck and I are back with the Group G edition of World Cup in 20, which is essentially an overview of the group. Simplified, right? I mean, I think that's the best way to say it.
Yep, we're talking to you about Group G, including Belgium, Panama, Tunisia, and England, over a beer.
Yeah, quick reminder before we start, check a look at our Twitter, FPL_360, for all the information about the official World Cup fantasy group we are hosting, with the winner receiving quite a fancy prize, a mystery kit from Away Days. So with that said, let's get down to business. Belgium headline Group G. And in all honesty, out of all the storylines set to unfold in Russia, the golden generation of Belgian players is arguably the most intriguing. At 11-1 odds, do you think Roberto Martinez's side are the best dark horse in terms of betting on a World Cup winner?
Nope.
Okay, that was a lot shorter of an answer than I was expecting.
I don't particularly think that Belgium and Roberto Martinez have it. And there's definitely not enough flexibility in this squad for when they come up against a true test. Like, consider the fact that Belgium has no outside backs. They had to bring Boyata to this World Cup because they have no real outside backs.
Yeah, that is probably their one real, even though it is a big one, their one real deficiency. I mean, you could potentially see maybe your boy Vertonghen out at outside back.
Yeah, and that's not fun.
Yeah. I guess we'll talk about their strengths, though. KDB leads the list of stars. Is he one of the... is he one of the best midfielders that's going to be on display at the World Cup?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, while it's still stupid that Raja Nainggolan got exiled from this squad for no reason, their attack is dirty.
Yeah, at 10 million, is KDB worth the price of admission in fantasy?
Considering the amount of budget midfielders and the fact that they should really only put a bunch of goals past Panama in this group, I'd hold off on getting him until at least the knockout rounds. But I could see why you'd want to get him now, just in case he has a price rise too.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought process behind putting him in my initial...
I mean, I have a Belgian midfielder, but...
Which one did you go with?
I have Lil Thorgan Hazard.
Ooh, okay, that's interesting. I was going to say, we'll get to him in this part. If you look at this attack, you have Eden Hazard, Big Hazard, you have Romelu Lukaku, and then you have Napoli's talismanic goal scorer, Dries Mertens. I think this is one of the most balanced overall attacks in the tournament.
It is, but the funny thing is the fact that if we're going on form and what they've been doing right now, Thorgan deserves to be in over his brother.
I mean, I guess if you were doing like that, that's not going to happen. It is a realistic way to think about it. And he's... then going along that chain of thought, I don't think that we would see that.
I mean, it's tough because Thorgan may not be completely as talented as Eden, but he is younger.
Yeah, that's fair. And then on the flip side, and speaking of form, Dries Mertens comes in to the World Cup having actually scored the most goals out of any Belgian player in terms of domestic production over the last two seasons. So he's one of the guys I have pinned for being a star in fantasy, but just in general.
I mean, when you want to be speedy, what I'd really do is sit Lukaku and play Mertens as your number nine. Because Mertens showed that he is a very dangerous point forward.
Yeah, that leads us to our next thing, talking about how they're going to line up. Are we expecting to see three at the back, four in the midfield, and three up front, or some variation of that?
Probably. I don't see much of a reason why they need to play four at the back in the group stage, especially considering that their game against England is almost useless because both teams will already be through by the time they play.
Yeah, that's a good point. Moving on to one of the teams that we're expecting them to thump, we have Panama. This is their first time going to the World Cup. Are they the weakest team headed to Russia?
In my opinion, yes, they are.
Yeah, we also have a disposition because they are going instead of one of the nations that we were really looking forward to seeing there, which was the United States.
Just when I think I'm like coming to terms with the U.S. not being there, something like this comes up.
Yeah, however, I am wearing my Julian Green jersey right now, and he did just score against France, so it's not a consolation prize, but I just wanted to mention that. In terms of Panama's players, is there anyone that, you know, excites you, or is this just a team of guys we haven't heard of that we most likely won't hear from again after the World Cup?
I mean, Roman Torres is cool because he's a center back that gets forward and scores goals and really operates more as a central defensive midfielder than a center back. But for the most part, for at least as far as casuals go, this is a pretty squad that's dearth of talent.
Yeah. And with this being an overview that's kind of focused on making it run quickly, we're not really going to go break down their squad too much. So if you're a Panama fan listening to this, I'm sorry about this, but you shouldn't have knocked the world USA out of the World Cup. Moving on to another team we don't know too much about, we have Tunisia. However, they don't have a ton of big names, but they were unbeaten in qualifying, and they're returning to the World Cup for the first time in 12 years. Is their goal to simply just win a match, or do you think they have realistically bigger ambitions?
Yeah, it's tough for them, because I think they could get out of a lot of groups, but you're in a group with two powerhouses that realistically you can only hope to snatch a point against.
Yeah, they come in good form too from their recent friendlies. They drew Turkey 2-2. They drew Portugal 2-2. They're currently, as we're recording, losing to Spain 1-0. Not really knowing a ton about the players that make up the entirety of the squad, I guess we should mention Warby Kazri. He is most likely going to be their big creator. He's listed as a forward. He's known for being a midfielder.
Yeah, he's not a forward.
Yeah, if you were looking for, you know, a 6.5 million sleeper forward, is he someone to look at, or you think?
No, because I'm pretty sure that I have a better one in my team right now. I just need to double-check his price.
Yeah, I mean,
Alfred Finnebosken is 6.5 million. Yeah, so that's a much better sleeper forward.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Tunisia are going to put up a good fight. I don't think they're going to be pushovers, but I just don't think they have the experience at the top level domestically to pip either England or Belgium in this group. With that said, we're going to move on to England. With FPL 360 primarily being an fantasy Premier League podcast, Chuck and I had somewhat of a hard time putting together England's notes because we could probably do
an entire podcast just on that.
So we'll go for the multiple times reduced abridged version. We know England have talent. However, they are chronic underachievers. Do you think the team that Gareth Southgate has assembled has a chance to break the mold and finally get England into the upper echelon of World Cup contenders, or do you think this will be another year of disappointment?
It's always a year of disappointment for England. don't think that they're going to do well enough to really go far. I like this England squad. I don't like this England coach. And I don't like Kyle Walker at center back in a back three.
Well, I disagree with you there because it's not so much that I think it's a good decision by Southgate in terms of utilizing Kyle Walker, but with the amount of pace that England's other center backs lack and the amount of pace for in terms of the team, in terms of Belgium and the teams they'll face in the knockout round, I think it is a good decision because Kyle Walker, you know, he's slightly above average defender, but his pace is elite. So I think that's kind of needed with the back three. I think that'll actually be one of the surprises of the tournament, and he's looked pretty decent there in the friendlies. Outside of that, one thing in specifics, is this going to be pretty much ride or die with Harry Kane?
Are you forgetting that Raheem Sterling exists?
Well, that can be your answer.
Well, that definitely alludes to my answer that this squad is much more than Harry Kane.
Yeah, how do you think that Southgate's toyed with a bunch of stuff. I guess you think we'll just see Harry Kane and Sterling as the two forwards, with Sterling kind of just floating around?
If we're playing with three at the back, then yeah, they're going to be the two forwards. Otherwise, I'd expect a front three or Sterling to operate in more of a traditional right midfielder role.
You think we could potentially see a Jamie Vardy, Harry Kane front two? That's what I want to see, but I don't know.
It's not happening. Yeah. Southgate doesn't tinker enough to get to that.
Yeah, in terms of the rest of the team, obviously losing Oxlade-Chamberlain was a massive blow. Who do you think is going to be, since it seems like they're going to start with one primarily defensive midfielder, and you have two candidates?
I mean, it better be Eric Dier.
Yeah, you think he'll sit in, and then he'll sit behind most likely Jesse Lingard and Jordan Henderson? Or do you think Henderson?
You mean Dele Alli?
I mean, that's actually a good point. Hopefully
Henderson's on the bench.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's fair. I forgot about Dele Alli because he just, I don't know. He disappointed this season overall.
No, he had double-digit goals and assists.
Yeah, but for the kind of stuff that he set him up for.
He had double-digit goals and assists.
Agree to disagree. In terms,
you can't disappoint. Like, this is like saying Sadio Mane had a disappointing year when he scored like 15 goals.
I just think that at times Dele Alli went missing during the season.
I'm just not going to entertain this anymore.
I'm trying to bait you, but you're not taking it. In terms of fantasy value, Harry Kane, obviously one of the premium forwards at 11 million. Since we're expecting him to do the majority of scoring for England, do you think they're going to score enough goals where he is worth that price?
Not in the group stage. I think that there's just too many forwards that are going to do pretty well that I just can't justify paying really over 9 million for a forward right now.
Yeah, I mean, that is a fair assessment. Looking at the rest of this team, where do you think their best fantasy value is? I guess in terms of individuals, do you like maybe looking at some of their defenders? You know, do you think maybe Pickford in goal? Or do you think it's better getting a lower price guy like Jesse Lingard at 7.5?
So it's funny. Putting together my squad, I don't have a single England player. I considered Kieran Trippier, just because hopefully Southgate has realized that he's their best deliverer of balls from the wing. But I just don't know, because the issue with fantasy games and England is that they're overpriced.
Yeah, I've gone with Jesse Lingard. I think from what I've seen, being a Manchester United fan and then what he's done in the friendlies, he's popped up with big goals when his club and country have needed it. He did it in some of the friendlies. I think he's going to have a very good tournament, and I think at 7.5, that is a worthy price.
What if he swaps with Ruben Loftus-Cheek?
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think there's a possibility. You just don't want to admit that there's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, I guess before we go into an England wormhole, which was one of my biggest fears when we recorded this group, let's wrap this group up. So I have Belgium 1 and England 2.
I have England 1 and Belgium 2.
Okay. So let's get into the specific predictions, because there's so much talent in here. I think we can come up with some, if not correct, at least some creative ones. Do you want to start us off? Do you have one that you've been itching to get out?
I am going to say that Thorgan Hazard scores 3 goals in the group.
Okay. I'm going to go with Dries Mertens being Belgium's leading scorer to the group stage.
So we both think that Belgium's going to score a lot of goals.
Exactly.
Harry Kane is going to celebrate his new contract by putting, let's see, 4 past Panama?
Yeah, I could see that. I think Jordan Pickford's going to have a really good tournament. However, just to shake it up a bit, I'm going to go a little outside the box with my specific prediction. Having brought him to my attention earlier, I think Ruben Loftus-Cheek's going to score.
Oh.
I don't think he's going to start, but I think he's going to see a bunch of minutes off the bench. And, you know, especially against Panama, I could see him getting a healthy 20, 25 minutes in the second half and definitely putting a goal in, because he showed his attacking prowess at Crystal Palace and a couple times hitting on the counter. So I'm going to go with Ruben Loftus-Cheek gets at least 1 goal in the group stage. With the specific predictions out of the way and all the nations covered, that is going to do it for this edition of World Cup in 20. Remember, go sign up for our official World Cup Fantasy group. All the information is on Twitter. Chuck, where can the folks find us on Twitter again?
@FPL_360.